Welcome to the February 20th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Kimberly Homer. Sometimes we can become restricted by the roles we've taken on or been assigned in our families, friendships, and other associations. What might we do to have a more expansive perception of who we are and how to act in the world?
Welcome. Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley on the native lands of the Tutelo and Monacan people, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Kimberly Homer, and today I'm pleased to be serving as a worship associate with our Rev. Pam. If you are with us for the first time, we are glad you found us. You can find a link to the virtual visitors card in the chat if you're online, or a paper card in the back of the sanctuary if you're here. Fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow you wish to be shared aloud, you'll find a link in the chat, again, if you're online, or cards that are available near the entrance. A greeter can help you back there, and we'll collect those during the opening hymn. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Check out the calendar on our website for times, Zoom links, and contact information. Thanks to all the volunteers who make this possible.
As we prepare for today's worship, I want to remind us of a few things. If you're online, you can control things like the size of your subtitles by clicking the CC box, and you can keep your microphone off until coffee hour or coffee time at the end of the service with the little microphone icon. And in just a minute or so, I'm going to ask you to turn on your cameras with the little camera icon so that we can greet one another. If you're here in the sanctuary, if you turn your phones onto worship mode, i.e. turn the ringer off so that we're not interrupted, that would be great. And I just want to lift up a couple of announcements. On Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we're having an anti-racism practice group with the Blacksburg Presbyterian Church. And so far, I think we have about 40 people signed up for it, but we're gonna break out into small groups to do some practice on Zoom. And I'm really excited. Barbara Taylor and I have been meeting with some staff over at the Presbyterian Church, and I'm excited for this new opportunity for us to do work together. Another collaborative effort is, I'm offering a class that starts, I think it's March 2nd, which has to do with exploring our UU principles. And we've opened it up to members of congregations around Virginia. And I know of at least one person from Charlottesville who will be joining us. And that will be an 8-session workshop. And I encourage you to sign up for it. But turnabout is fair play. The folks up in Charlottesville have offered to let our people go to their classes all on Zoom. Wayne Arneson is going to be teaching one on UU history, and Leah Derlin Jones is doing one on UU spirituality. So take a look at the announcements and you'll find the links so that you can sign up. But it's really exciting that we can do work across the Commonwealth. And I just to let you know, yesterday I was in Richmond, Virginia for the memorial service for one of my mentors, Reverend Jean Pupke. And it was amazing to be with Unitarian Universalist ministers. Some of you may know the names Abhi Janamachi, Sophia Betancourt, Wayne Arneson, just a lot of folks who I have long admired. And it was a beautiful celebration of her life. So if you knew her and wanted to watch that, it'll be on YouTube. And now let me invite Sarah Catlett up to tell us what the children are doing today.
Good morning. This morning, pre-K will be learning about our second principle and reading A Sick Day for Amos McGee and making an owl picture. K2 will also be learning about our second principle by reading The Keeping Quilt and making paper quilts of their own. 3-5 will be talking about the faith heritage of Unitarian Universalism and exploring their own family's faith heritage by creating faith family trees. Middle school is not meeting today because they had a wonderful time on Friday playing board games and some video games with each other. They will meet back up next Sunday. Thank you.
And now we get to greet one another. So if you are at home, if you would like to turn on your camera so we can see you, we'll put the gallery view of Zoom up on the screens in the sanctuary so that we can see who is joining us from home. And if you'd like to write in the chat where you are joining us from, I'll let people know. Hello from Christiansburg. Happy birthday wishes to Cynthia Luke from Nancy in Christiansburg. good morning from Chile, Christiansburg. Everybody's from Christiansburg. Oh, no. Victoria and Bernard are at home, and Bob Stimson is in Venice, Florida. More Christiansburg, Clay Street, Ellet Valley, Lodi, Italy, Radford, Christiansburg, Blacksburg, Smithfield, Ellet Valley, Pulaski. Ellen says Ellet Valley rocks. Price's Fork, Christiansburg, Radford, Blacksburg. It's good to be Falls Ridge joining people. Did everybody wave already? Yes, did wave? Okay, now people in the sanctuary, it's your turn to wave back. So, here we go. I'm supposed to go slower. Yeah. Okay, Sally, wave. A few more folks here than last week when it was that snowy day when we weren't sure if what the roads were going to be like. All right, we have greeted one another.
Please join me in reading the words on the screen as we light the chalice. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Our opening words were written by Margaret Weiss. Come into this place with your whole self, the parts that are raw and exposed, the part that is beaming with joy, the part that is seeking the truth, the new, the possibility. Come into this place, open your heart, lay down your burden, lift up your hope for something new to happen. Come into this place with fellow travelers on the journey, some faces new and others familiar, and all welcoming you here, now to this moment. Come, let us worship together. And let us read together our UUC covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
So today, instead of a time for all ages, I want to share with you one of the spiritual exercises from our Soul Matters small group packet. Kind of gotten away from doing that. If you're new, Soul Matters is the program that gives us our monthly themes, and there are groups that meet once a month to talk about their experience with spiritual exercises and with the questions that are in the packet. And this one seemed especially appropriate for our theme today, which is having a wider sense of ourselves. It's called, it's an invitation to step out of your circle of comfort. So this is what it says. We get comfortable in our usual patterns. For instance, we tend to interact with people who share our own views. We stick to habits and activities that we're good at and that offer us predictability. But often these circles of comfort keep us small. So this month, step outside of one of your circles of comfort. A ton of options to choose from, eating food you've not tried before, public speaking, engaging a family member about a hard issue you've long avoided, asking someone out on a date, watching NASCAR if you've never done it before. I've done that. I've actually been to a NASCAR race. It was really fun, very strange, but. Or the classic, parachuting out of a plane. Never doing that. If you are politically liberal, you might push yourself to listen to a conservative news source for a week. If you are a political conservative, then reading The Nation this month may be your choice. If you hate exercise, then maybe a few long hikes make sense. If you're not the artistic type, how about signing up for a pottery or a watercolor class this month? Or maybe you are a poet who has never shared their work. Well, this is your chance to do it. The packet goes on. A good standard to know if you've picked an adequately challenging choice is if your friends say, "I can't believe you do that," when you tell them about it. The goal, of course, is growth, not discomfort. So be sure to make time to reflect on and maybe write about your choice. Why do you think you chose what you did? What need or hunger was behind the selection? What did the process of doing it teach you? How are you different having done it? So that's the invitation for this month. We only have a week and a half, less than that, to do it. So think about it just for a second. What's something that would kind of stretch you a little bit? What would take you out of your circle of comfort? I invite you to think about that. And now.
One way we fulfill our mission as UUs is by collecting an offering. And every week our congregation shares half of the offering with a local charity or UU affiliated organization. This week's recipient is the RAFT Crisis Hotline, whose volunteers provide suicide and crisis intervention, empathy and support, mental health and substance abuse information, and referrals to the counties of Montgomery, Floyd, Giles, Pulaski, and the city of Radford, including Virginia Tech and Radford University. It's a program of the New River Valley Community Services, and I highly endorse it. You may give online using the link in the chat if you're online, or through the other ways listed on the screen. You will be able to give after the services as well. For those at the UUC who would like to give by cash or check, there's a basket in the back of the sanctuary, and we thank you all for your generosity. As we collect our offering, we'll enjoy Jared playing Unsent Love Letters by Elena Katz-Chernin, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. Please remember to maintain distance between yourselves and others. For those online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory. Please join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end. So this week's reflection is about the exercise that Rev Pam asked us to do. You know, who are we and what are we called to do? In reflecting on my perception of myself, shaped by my friends and family, I sometimes struggle with that permeable boundary of me. Is it my body, that electromagnetic resonator formed from stardust, or the stories I've heard and retold? How do I know if our actions are altruistic or narcissistic? if we surround ourselves with ourselves. As for patterns, habits, and activities, I started the week determined to join a radical, nonviolent international movement aimed at waking us out of our complacency, and I doubt my closest friends would be surprised by this. But friend is a very promiscuous word, according to communications professor William Rollins. It applies to friends we love, friends we haven't learned to love yet, and also to acquaintances we fear don't like us very much. I remember when I first started attending UU services and didn't quite get what it was about. And someone said this, if you ask a UU whether he'd rather go to heaven or a discussion of heaven, the UU will choose the discussion every time. I hope that is true of us. I have had some fascinating conversations about space and time with some of you UUs. And I personally am coming to believe that heaven is not in the sky. If it's anywhere, it's in the dirt where our ancestors are gathered and where we will all get to go someday, no exceptions. Being able to talk about heaven and cosmic plasma and still pass for normal is quite a gift. So back to the challenge to do something out of character, and for me, that is to stop believing, at least for a moment, that collapse is upon us and that only the most radical of actions can change our course. And the opportunity came in a Twitter storm I created in response to Ashley Dugan, yes, our own delightful and insightful friend Ashley, about a development project in Blacksburg. How can Ashley, one of the most amazing, brilliant, joyful people I have ever met, and whom I can't imagine denigrating someone's character, no matter how much she disagreed with his or her opinions, have such a different vision for saving the world? If someone we admire has similar values but different tactics, do we dare share our passion with them? Twitter clearly was not the place to talk about it. And Ashley and I plan to meet for coffee at the Mockingbird Cafe when it's warm enough to sit outside. What would our circle, indeed our whole biosphere, be like with that passion traveling from heart to heart? The words fall away, but the feelings travel at the speed of sound through the ground and change us the way trees are changed by traffic noise and our exhalations, and give us shade and oxygen in return. Town Council's vote will be history by then, and one of us will be sad about it, but there will still be a world to save.
So, once again, Kimberly has widened the circle of my understanding of the theme with her reflection. I love working with Kimberly. She always takes me way outside of wherever I thought I was going to go. And oh, to be a fly on the wall when she and Ashley get together to talk about that development project. And oh, how wonderful that they are both willing to share their passions, especially as their tactics differ. Is anyone surprised that Unitarian Universalists would have different ideas about how to save the world? Are you surprised? No, you're not surprised? You know, we always say we're kind of in this echo chamber, that we're all saying the same things over and over again, but some of you might know about this development project. It's over on the corner of Country Club and South Main Street. And I've heard both sides lifted up equally passionately by people who I equally admire and respect. They've been telling me about it. I love that they're going to be talking to each other about it. It's risky to have those conversations, isn't it? It's risky to talk about theology in a Unitarian Universalist setting sometimes, isn't it? Telling people what you truly believe. It takes relationship and trust to tell someone, I believe in God, or I believe in heaven, or I don't. Sometimes we're a little too risk averse to open up our hearts and share the things that matter most to us. Talk about stepping out of your circle of comfort. Maybe even widening your sense of yourself. So I'm going to be inspired by Ashley and Kimberly's willingness to share their passionate differences. I think I'm going to find some ways to do that in the next couple of weeks. Now, I was initially drawn to the idea of exploring how we can widen our senses of ourself in our worship team meeting, when one of the members said that that's a big part of what the new Disney movie Encanto was all about. I'd been wanting to watch that movie. It's an animated movie. And so sermon preparation was a really good excuse to watch a kid's movie. It's a lovely film. It's set in Colombia, and it has lush colors and beautiful music. And it's part of what I see as Disney's efforts to widen the circle of who is centered in their films. Instead of blue-eyed, blonde-haired Cinderella princesses, the main character of this one is a bespectacled, I love that word, brown girl named Mirabelle from Central America. And I don't think it's giving anything away to let you know that in the family, in Mirabelle's family, the members of the family all have special magical powers. But again, these widen the cultural stereotypes and norms of what those powers might be. The physically strong one is her sister. And another sister can make plants and flowers grow, and an uncle who can tell the future, and a cousin who can talk to animals. They all have some special talent. But therein lies one of the problems is for these characters is that instead of being known as their full selves, they get kind of pigeonholed by what they can do, by their specialty. They are flattened into stereotypes instead of being multidimensional. And that can be really constraining. And it makes sense in a fairy tale that we know the characters by their predominant traits. But in real life, our perceptions of ourselves and each other can also become stereotypical and flat. We can lose an understanding and an appreciation for other people when we focus on that one trait or one role or one perspective. Oh yeah, he's the Republican. And that can keep us from knowing ourselves and each other in all our messy, human, wonderful complexity. I can think of times when I was stuck in my way of thinking about other people. Oh yeah, so-and-so is the person who always fill in the blank, always makes a joke out of everything, sees the glasses half empty or half full, takes over in meetings, or sits back and waits for someone else to speak. And yet, I have been delightfully surprised when it turned out they played against type and showed me a side of themselves that I hadn't expected. It often feels like a gift when they do, because it means that they are being vulnerable and revealing parts of themselves that they don't often share. And I think we can get stuck thinking of ourselves in flat, stereotypical fashion too. Our friends and coworkers get used to us playing a certain role, and their expectations and our comfort can keep us in it. But none of us is just one thing. I think of people I've known who have seemed to have it all together. They were smart and attractive and popular. But when they faced challenges in their lives, they couldn't share it because that's not what people expected from them. So, are there parts of you that don't fit other people's perceptions and expectations? Parts that you're reluctant to share with the people in your life? Parts that you're reluctant to acknowledge in yourself? What would happen if we risked admitting that we are more than the strongest and best parts of ourselves? That we are strong and vulnerable, that we are complex and human. Talk about stepping out of your circle of comfort. And actually, as I say that, I think about who do you trust enough to admit those things? And what a gift they are in your life. Now, I've been thinking about one way I could widen my own sense of self and could step out of the circle of my comfort. And it's by experimenting with an activity that I found from Joanna Macy. She's an environmental activist, author, and scholar of Buddhism, general systems theory, and deep ecology. And she also translates Rilke poems. You might have heard her on Being with Krista Tippett. So she runs these workshops that try to help people get connected to other people, but also the interdependent web of life. And the purpose of her workshops is really to empower people to act. She wrote a book called Active Hope. It kind of became my Bible for a couple of years because it offsets the terror that the climate crisis can engender. So she has one of the activities that she, I watched a video of it in a workshop. It's something to help you see with new eyes, which is one of the steps in her spiral. So participants choose an issue that's deeply important to them. It could be an environmental issue or a social justice issue or really any issue. And then widen their experience of self by speaking about it from four different places. Start with their own, so for like 3 minutes in this little triad, explain what the issue is from their own perspective. And you stop. And then you choose the voice of someone 180 degrees from you and speak in their voice. Here comes the hard part, without sarcasm or stereotyping. And I listened to a podcast from Hidden Brain the other day, and they talked about how easy it is to stereotype and flatten other people. Hidden Brain, so this is why. We know when we take a position, all that's behind it, our intentions, our philosophy, our reason for being, we know all the backstory for whatever we say. But when we look at someone else and listen to what they say, all we see are their actions. We don't know what their motivations are. When I heard that, that was kind of like a light bulb going off over my head, because I thought, that's part of the reason it's so hard for me to hear people from the other political or other side. I'm not getting that backstory. So I know it's only 3 minutes of speaking from somebody else's voice, but I think it would take a lot of reflection to imagine what it is that is leading them to be on the other side of the issue. And then she goes one step further. So it's first your voice, then your opponent's voice, and then speak from the voice of a non-human being that might be affected by that issue. Last week we had our beloved stuffies in stuffed animals and dolls in the service as we talked about widening the circle of our love to all of the interdependent web. So think about whatever issue is most important to you. What non-human being would be affected by that? And what would you say for them? How could you speak for them? And then finally, Macy would have us widen the circle still to someone in the future who will be affected by what we choose to do or to not do today. So those of you with grandchildren or great-grandchildren, you have somebody in your mind already. Some of us have great nieces and nephews. What would they say about the issue? I think that would be a really interesting exercise to do. Maybe we should do that in one of our conversations. I tried something similar when I was in San Diego. My brother and his family are not vaccinated against COVID. And it was interesting. His wife kind of just explained it to me as if it were self-evident. Like, who would think other than the way she thinks? And I didn't ask her any questions because it just didn't feel right. But I did ask my brother. And I did something that I usually don't do. I just listened. I don't agree with him still, and I'm not sure that I understand. But it may have been the first time that I listened without arguing. Hey, I just went out of my circle of comfort. So, we can widen our sense of ourselves in part by opening up that circle of comfort, maybe stepping over that line and inviting other people in. So, how are you going to widen your circle of comfort this week? So in the week ahead, I invite you all to be courageous, to take some risks, and to value and lift up in gratitude those whom you trust enough to show your whole self to. We'll extinguish the chalice, but not the warmth of this community, the fire of commitment to go out and widen our circle. Amen, and blessed be.